America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
What's up? Hey, thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for keeping me company. We're going to talk about annoying things with your hair, specifically my hair. We're going to talk about parasocial relationships, this weird thing that's happening in social media. Like, how do we feel about social media? We're going to talk about how it is people feel like, or we feel like we know them because of what they post in social and the toll that it takes on people's mentality. And just social media is weird. We're going to talk about all of that today here on The Chalene Show. Thanks for hanging out with me. Let's get to it. We're going to start by getting dressed. Can I tell you how annoying it is to have a colic in the back of your head? Now, if you don't know what a colic is, I'm sure you've heard. I mean, obviously, who doesn't know what a colic is? I don't know. Probably my husband. But it's when your hair decides to go in a different direction. And it just, no matter what you do to it, it's like, no, we don't go the way the other ones go. And so a lot of people have a little colic in the front, which I remember, like, even now, I love the look of a colic in the front. I guess you always want what you don't have. Like, I will sometimes hairspray my bangs in a way so it kind of looks like I have a colic, because I think a colic in the front, you are so lucky if you have a colic in the front. But if you have a colic in the back, nobody wants a colic in the back where your hair literally parts down the middle, so it makes it look like you have a bald spot. It is so frustrating. It's really frustrating if you have fine hair, and like, it's just annoying. Like, it also shows your roots more. I just hate it so, so much. I've watched too many YouTubes today of women showing different techniques to disguise it. It's just so much work. Is there anything permanent I can do? It's just so annoying. But also, I got hair extensions. I think I told you. Maybe I did. I can't remember. But I got hair extensions. I don't think I did, because I got them on Saturday. Wait, I can't remember what day I got them now. But anyways, I got hair extensions, and I full on right now look like an Orange County housewife. They're dumb. I mean, I love them because they're called the invisible hair extensions. Like, I can't even believe, like, it feels like I have nothing in my head. I can't even believe it. They're so nice. I just got two rows, and I haven't worn hair extensions for like 10 years. So why did I get them back? Because I feel like I overdo the clip-ins, and I feel like the clip-ins were kind of like, I don't know. Well, also when I did that copper peptide hair treatment to regrowth in some areas that I have damaged from wearing stupid hair clips. And so when she did that, she was like, you have to take a break from the hair clips. I'm like, you're right. So then I'm like, but I can't. But also I can't. It's like once you've gone to start wearing eyelashes, you feel like you look like Kermit the Frog if you don't have them on. You're like, this is not an option. This needs to be written into my will. And if my children or whoever is in charge of me when I am no longer in charge of myself, if they're not putting lashes on me, then they don't even love me. Like, it's my identity. And so once you've gone to hair extensions or hair clip-ins, you've ruined yourself. You can't go back to the way you were. If you know, you know. So anyways, I got these new hair extensions that one of my girlfriends was like, it'll change your life. They're expensive, but it will change your life. And it's so much better for your hair. And your hair will actually begin to be able to grow back. Not that I ever have any intentions of like living my life without some form of fake hair, you know, because fake is my middle name. But these are supposedly the best option in terms of like, you know, letting your hair grow. And I just can't even, like, there's no tension on my head whatsoever. Like, I really, really, really do love them. But I left without her like really cutting them as short as my own hair is. Actually, I think she said that she cut them as almost as long as my natural hair is. But my natural hair is so fine, like, it looks silly. They're just too long. I really look like circa 2008 Orange County Housewives. Like, what's going on with this hair? Anyways, I'm going to go back on Thursday and get them cut. I like to cut them myself typically, but these are I spent too much money on these, and they need to last me for a year, so I can't mess around. This is not like Amazon hair, you know what I'm saying? But Amazon hair is good. So let's just quickly finish up with hair extensions. You guys are like, are we really listening to a podcast about hair extensions? Okay, simmer down for a second. There is some pretty great hair that you can make little clip-ins. That's what I do. I buy the hair clips. You can buy them at any beauty store. You can go to Sally Beauty and you can buy little hair clips. And then you can just buy hair extensions on Amazon, the tape-in kind. And I just tape a bunch of them together and then I sew the little clip on, custom. Or you can go to Sally Beauty and buy like the pack of hair that's already has the clips attached, which is probably the better way to spend your time. So anyways, enough about that. I am having like this, I don't know what you want to call it, but I'm really thinking so much lately about social media. And today I saw this video of this guy and on TikTok, and he was basically making a case about the D'Amelios, that their brand is dead, and like how they've just like they've destroyed their own brand. And it was kind of interesting. He was talking about it from a marketing standpoint. Now, if you don't know who the D'Amelios are, Charli D'Amelio, ask any teenager or ask anyone who's like, you know, 25 and younger. So Charli D'Amelio is a gal who, like, at age 15, basically went on TikTok and during the pandemic, pretty much. And she's the gal, pretty much, who put all of the, you know, the dancing videos where they're just kind of using their upper body and they, you know, do like a little, almost like a, I don't know, a little routine to a song, and then everybody else copies it and everybody else does it. And that's kind of what TikTok was at first. Well, Charli D'Amelio was like at the time 15. She was a dance student, just cute girl next door, adorable, like beautiful, but not so beautiful that you hated her. Just super cute, right? Nothing sexual about her videos or anything. Just like, oh, pure. Love this girl. Like, you know, you're excited that your daughter's following her kind of thing. Well, she just becomes like the person on TikTok to follow. Fast forward. Today she has, are you ready for this? 157 million followers on TikTok. She has something like, I don't know, 100 million on Instagram. Don't quote me on that. She has an older sister named Dixie. Dixie D'Amelio always wanted to be a singer. She's a couple years older than Charli. Okay. So this all starts happening. And as you know, or maybe you don't, but I'm sure you do, if you get enough viral videos, or even just a couple, you can start making money right away. Like literally, brands will pay you top dollar. I mean, Sierra, my daughter, she gets so many brand opportunities. And I think, I haven't even checked, I think she's got like 20,000 followers. Don't quote me there. I should know. Let's take a look while we're recording this. Otherwise, I'm going to be a really bad mom. Stand by. Let's look up our daughter's Instagram. Okay, yeah. She has 23,000 followers. She gets brand offers on the daily. Meanwhile, her mom has 800,000 followers and like no brands reach out to me. I have to reach out to them. So it's something about the age, that's for sure. Okay, so but anyways, you know, so if Sierra's getting brand deals, like, people reach out to her and they pay really, like, I trip out at how much these brands pay. It's crazy. So anyways, you know, Charli D'Amelio's now got like thousands of followers, right? So she's getting like huge deals coming her way. And frankly, her family's like, okay, what her parents are, you know, they're adorable, cute, husband and wife, still married. And they're like, what do we do? You know, like all of these opportunities are happening in LA. I forget where they lived at the time. I feel like it was somewhere in the Midwest. So they decide to up and move the whole family to LA, the whole family. And it just like keeps coming and keeps coming. Like they are getting crazy deals. Now they're offering the mom deals. She's beautiful. Heidi D'Amelio. I had her on the show. Didn't I have her on the show? I know I did. Yes. And I've talked about it before on the show too. So anyways, Heidi starts getting deals. That's the mom and the dad. And they start, you know, just Heidi was on Dancing with the Stars. They open up physical shops where they, you know, are offering like their apparel. They start an apparel line. They start a shoe line. They start a line that's at Walmart. I mean, they're just like so many deals, right? And this guy makes this TikTok basically saying their brand is dead because they've taken everything every deal possible. So you don't even know like what they stand for or like, you know, who they are, or they just took deals that didn't even relate to their personal styles or their, you know, personalities, or they just took everything. And so because of that, all of these brand deals are, they're just also watered down. And it's really, in the long run, it's a bad, in his opinion, it was a bad move because it's really, you know, nobody knows who their brand is and they're just dying. But meanwhile, they're on their third season on Hulu of, and I think I've talked about before, their reality TV show. And this video that the guy made was like, I watched and I thought, God, that sucks. That just sucks. Because these girls, they're kids. They had no idea. There's no way they could have known what was going to happen, what it was going to feel like. You just always assume you're going to be different. People aren't going to come for you because you're authentic. You're a nice person. You're all these things, right? But when you have that many followers, it is inevitable. And I've talked about it many times. And I just think about when I've watched their reality TV show, these young girls are just struggling with anxiety and depression. And it is so hard to be in the public eye in the way that they are and to be scrutinized and to be by your own peers. And now, I mean, God, and now they're, I mean, their livelihood, like they, I feel so bad for Charlie. I haven't seen this season, but like, I just think about like, people have no idea how hurtful and how difficult it is to be in their positions. And I can say this because the guy then made a second video. He made a second video that I saw today. I don't know when he made it. I could like be late to this trend. But he made a second video today where he was basically saying, oh, okay, so apparently she saw my first video and I've been blocked by Charli D'Amelio. Like, she's trying to thwart my growth or whatever. And so he's like, she's blocked me. And everyone's like coming for her in his comments. And I'm like, that was just a way to protect her own sanity. That doesn't mean she's like trying to block your growth. That means that she's like, I don't need to see this. And that's a healthy boundary. But and so then he's kind of going off on like how, you know, she should have just taken that positive criticism and that he's watched her reality TV show and that she's struggling with anxiety and crying about like how the fans make her feel. And meanwhile, she should be incredibly grateful because she's made millions of dollars. And I've said this time and time again, until you've been in that position in some way, shape, or form, you cannot understand how traumatic and how much of a trauma it is for some people when they get put in the spotlight. And I know because I've been reading the comments in Patreon, people are like, you know, when it comes to like the Hollises or anyone else, people are like, you know what you're getting into, but you really don't. You really don't. And even if you do, you assume, well, that won't happen to me. Like, people will like me. I won't suffer any kind of attacks like that because I'm a nice person and I, you know, I do right. And everyone so far really loves me. So you just, you don't think that that's going to happen to you. And people just have no idea, I think, how important it is to have your foundation, like who you are, intact before that happens. But a lot of people don't even intend. Charli D'Amelio did not intend for it to happen. And I know you can say and think to yourself, well, yeah, but like once it starts happening, you have a decision whether you want to do it or not. Really, would you, if you don't know that all these things, you don't think all these things are going to happen to you and you have the opportunity to make millions of dollars or not, or just, you know, struggle like anyone else. And you're just like, all I have to do is like make some content. I mean, you probably would too. Most people do. And it's just something you can't possibly imagine is going to take the toll on you that it does. And then I opened up Instagram. I'm really trying to stay off of social, but I'm looking at it in a different way since I started doing this series on the Hollises and the toll that it took, especially on Dave. And so then I opened up this in my Instagram today, and it was this guy who I've followed forever. He's like a big, what do you call it, biohacker. And he's just living life a little differently. He's like newly divorced, divorced a couple years ago. And now he's like showing his girlfriend on his feed and stuff. And I was just like reading the comments and people are like, ew, disgusting, unfollowing. And I'm like, it's so weird. It's just so weird. Like what that must feel like. I'm just living my life and just people, the way that we comment. And I think the bigger the accounts get or the more well-known we think somebody is, the more we feel like, oh, I can say this and it won't hurt or they won't see it or they get so many, you know, they've got so much money or they've got so much whatever that it does. Like, I see the people commenting things that I know you would never say to a person in real life, but we forget that those are like real people. And I know that that's an unrelatable statement for a lot of people who are like, but it comes with the territory. I know it comes with the territory, but it doesn't make people less human. Y'all know how important supplements are, especially for me, especially for those of us who don't eat a perfect diet or might be aging, and then you're losing some of these really important minerals and things that your body produces naturally, but it starts producing less of those things. And one of those things is collagen. I never used to do a collagen supplement until the last 4 years. And the collagen supplement that I use is from Organifi. Now, I like an unflavored collagen. That way I can mix it in with my coffee. I can mix it in with my water. That's what I do. I just mix it in with my 32 ounces of water. I also mix it with the other ingredients that I put in my water that contain my supplements. Like I use Organifi Pure. I use Organifi Immunity. Those are kind of like a citrusy flavor combined. And then I add the collagen, which has no flavor. And I mean, then I'm just set. Now, collagen is really, really important because it's responsible for basically everything. It helps to support gut health, your metabolism, your cardiovascular health. And ladies, that's super duper important. Collagen is what keeps everything together. It's like the protein in your body that you need for your blood vessels, your muscles, the appearance of your skin, your hair, like everything. So yes, I highly recommend Organifi Pure and Immunity. But if you feel like your skin, your hair, your muscle tone just isn't what it used to be, I highly encourage you to supplement with collagen. And right now you can get 20% off when you go to Organifi.com/Shalene. It's Organifi.com/Shalene. Don't forget to use code Shalene for 20% off. Plus, that's a wonderful way to support the show and one of our favorite companies. They have been long-time loyal supporters of the Shalene Show. So thank you for supporting Organifi.
So I got a comment tonight on my Instagram. I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to address this. Okay, so she said, do you still stand behind this comment? And then she goes, you know, she sends me a screenshot of a post that was made to my Facebook page from 2019. And what's interesting that she doesn't know is that this was actually a repost. So this is a repost of something that I've actually posted in 2017, but again, posted in 2019. She's, I guess, scrolled back through my Facebook page, who knows, and sends me this post. And she wants to know, do you still stand behind this? Listen, that was not a rude comment. That's perfectly fine. I think it's a perfectly legitimate question. So here's what I wrote in 2017 and reposted in 2019. I said, I meet a lot of amazing women who tell me that they post up half naked or revealing fitness photos because it gets them more engagement. One person actually told me I would never wear these short shorts or a tiny bra top, but I use it on Instagram because it gets me more likes. Ladies, you're better than that. Isn't it hypocritical to both complain about superficial nature of social media and then play into it? I stopped posting that kind of stuff 5 years ago, and the right people will show up. I started attracting the right tribe, people like you. So if you're a fitness influencer, a motivator, a body coach, a personal trainer, a wellness expert, fitness, blah, 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 stop posting boob and booty shorts unless that's the kind of tribe you're trying to attract. You can also stop liking those kinds of posts, and you can show more love to the health and fitness influencers that give you the kind of substance and who have more to offer than a bathroom selfie. Unfollow or at least mute accounts if their content triggers you or makes you feel like you're not fit enough, thin enough, lean enough. Unfollow accounts that make you feel jealous, make you feel comparison, negativity. It's just not worth it. Stop telling yourself that you find motivation from those accounts if the truth is it just makes you feel inferior. Where are my confident, self-respecting, healthy, happy, motivating, healthy fitness influencers? Okay. So I understand, and I know where she's going with this, because in the last year, I started posting a lot of fitness content again. I started posting stuff that I've never in my entire life posted, including like photos in a bikini or in short shorts. And I'm not doing that for engagement. Here's the difference. So I just want to explain this, and then we're going to take it back to like this parasocial relationship we have. So when in 2017, when I originally wrote that post, I didn't feel like I owned my body. I felt like my body was a marketing tool, and I felt like I needed to hide it because it made me feel like I couldn't control my life. It made me feel inferior. It made me feel like all the things. And so I didn't want to post that kind of content, whether I for likes or not. I was in a place where I felt shame about my body, and I felt like it defined me, and I felt like it was owned by anyone other than me. Today, I feel very different. Today, I own my body. Today, I feel so differently about age. And, you know, just to think that at age 35, at 45, that even at age 50, I wanted to hide my body. And I've gotten to a place now where I don't post up like me working out or me in a bikini or me whatever for likes and engagement. I do it because it makes me feel empowered, because I own my sexuality, because I own my age, because I own my power and the way that I want to age with power and the way I want to show up and I want to, the way I want to feel and what I want other women to see is possible. Because I thought at age 45, at age 50, that meant you were irrelevant. That meant that you, like, I just had all these negative beliefs around aging and menopause. And I think it's because I didn't see these kinds of things until I started following women who were older than me. I really, really, really love following women who are older than me and are killing it and wearing whatever they want and look amazing because they don't care what other people think. So to answer her question, first of all, I'm not offended at all that she asked it. I get it. But so that's to answer her question. But it also made me think about how once you have become, you've made yourself public in social media, which you have if you have a public account, people want an explanation for any change in the way you think, change in the way you dress, change in your marital status, change in your relationship status, change in the, you know, where you live. They want an explanation. And I get it. And I don't know what to make of it, but it's where we are. It's this parasocial relationship that we have with each other. Like, I was listening to this podcast today about parasocial relationships, and I think they missed some of it. Like, they were talking about how we all follow people in social media or on TV or reality TV or YouTube or whatever, and you feel like you know them. You've watched so much of their content. You know, you've spotted, like, in one of the videos that you guys have the same tile, or you know the names of their dogs. You're probably listening to this podcast, and maybe I'm taking a shower with you right now. You know what I mean? It's like you feel very intimate with, we all do, people who create content. And it's healthy 98% of the time. It's a really good thing because it makes us feel good. It makes us feel like, oh, I can relate to that. It makes us feel normal. And a parasocial relationship, meaning where it's one-sided in most cases. Because, like, for example, I've told the story a million times, but like when I met Susie Orman at QVC, we were both there to do an appearance, and I walked past her in the hallway and I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. She's going to know that I've watched. I thought she would look at my face and know that I knew everything about her. So I was like a little bit embarrassed. And so like when I met her, like was introduced, like my face turned bright red because I'm like, oh my God, she's going to know that how does she not know that I've watched hundreds of her videos? You know what I mean? But like, she doesn't know that, but it's this weird thing.
this happens all the time to all of us. There's podcasters that I've, or YouTubes, or people on Instagram that I've watched so much of their content that I really like them, or I should say I like what I know of them, and they keep me company. And because of that, I really do feel like a connection to them, and I do feel like they keep me company. And that makes me feel warm and fuzzy. And so then there's this weird thing that when that person who I feel like I know and they keep me company, when they do something that I didn't know about, it's like, have you ever had this happen where one of your friends, something major happens, like they put their house up for sale, or they got a promotion, or they got a new car, and it's a close friend, and you're like, okay, when were you going to tell me? Excuse me? You put your house up for sale? Okay, so I guess we're not friends anymore. You're just not going to tell me that? And the same kind of thing happens in parasocial, in all of us, with all of us. The whole concept of parasocial is something two social researchers basically discovered in like 1956. I'm not looking at notes or anything, so I'm just doing this from my memory. And if I recall, it was they started realizing that people in their homes were having conversations with the TV. Like they felt like they knew people who were on TV, and or they would have like verbal, like, don't do that. Why are you doing that? Like having these like conversations with people who are on TV. And so they noticed this phenomenon. And it doesn't make us crazy. We all do this. However, there is, based on research, like 3 to 5% of the population that does go too far. And they're usually people who are borderline personalities, people who there is some kind of missing attachment. And so they don't have those attachments in real life. And these are the people who they will DM me, you know, and like, whatever. We all get lots of DMs, but I get like a lot of DMs, especially because I'm using like a trigger word where I'm like, you know, send me the word video and I'll send you the link to my YouTube subscription. Well, if I post that up on Instagram, I might get like 3,000 DMs. And yes, it's automated, but I don't get to see a lot of the other DMs. Anyways, on too many occasions to count, I will get a DM from someone who's like, you are so phony. I've sent you so many messages. And then, you know, I'm reading through sometimes like a year worth of messages that I never saw any of them. And I can read in their tone that they're getting like really very angry with me. And in their mind, this is a very different relationship than just someone they follow on social media. Like they feel like I've ghosted them, and they feel like I've betrayed them because I haven't seen their DMs, but they think that I have ignored them. Anyways, we all do it. It's pretty normal, but there is a small percentage of the population who then it goes too far and they turn the relationship into something that it's not, or they become disappointed with them in real life. You know, like, for example, again, that guy who I looked at his post, and when I saw that one person commenting, like, I'm unfollowing, then I wanted to read through more of the comments, and almost every single comment was like, this is such a disappointment. I'm like, it's so weird. Like, why are you disappointed in someone you don't even know? But I get it, because I'm the same way. It's just a natural thing. We build these relationships, and it becomes very, it feels very much like, I don't know, sometimes I guess it's hard to draw the line and know that this person doesn't actually have to explain to me what's going on. But I've done this exact same thing. Like, I've watched somebody on social media, I'm like, okay, what's going on with their face? I literally want to know, like, okay, so what are they doing and why haven't they told us? Like, what's going on? Or I've watched people or listened to podcasts and thought to myself, for sure, if we meet in real life, we're going to be friends. I don't think that's weird. I personally do not think that's weird. There are people who I listen to their podcasts or I watch them on reality TV. Marisol from Miami Housewives, if anyone can connect me, I'm sure that we would be friends in real life. And I just don't think it's weird. I think it's weird, though, when
you expect that person to do something. Like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's weird when you take it too far. There are certain people that get a little strange with it. And it makes me also realize that I have to be careful. I need to be more responsible, you know? Okay, so let's talk about deodorant for a second. You know that I had been on the hunt, thank you for your suggestions, for a deodorant that was baking soda free, didn't have any parabens, had no aluminum, because, you know, hashtag we're all trying to get rid of the toxins. Many of you had suggested Lumi. I tried it. I love it. And now they are a show sponsor. Lumi is different because it's a whole body deodorant. And they've got a stick, and they also have like a cream tube deodorant, okay? So here's the deal. This stuff is so safe. You can put it friggin' anywhere on your body. You can put it in your underboobs, on your belly button, on your booty crack, on your vajayjay, on your feet, like anywhere where you're like, okay, we just need to control some odor. That's Lumi. Lumi will take care of that for you. It's a first of its kind. It's been clinically proven to block odor all day and control it for up to 72 hours. I love that it was created by an OBGYN who experienced firsthand that BO is normal. It was just being misdiagnosed and mistreated. So if you've been looking for something that is aluminum free, like I said, you want something that's a little safer to use anywhere on your body, may I suggest to you the Lumi Starter Pack. It's perfect for new customers because then you'll get like the solid stick plus the cream tube deodorant, which is kind of nice, like if you're going to put on your feet or wherever. They'll also give you two free products of your choice, like their little mini body wash and the deodorant wipes, which are also really nice. And because you're a listener of The Chalene Show, new customers get $5 off their Lumi starter pack with code Chalene. So go to LumiDeodorant.com. That will give you, are you ready for this? 40% off your starter pack. Check it out. I think you're going to love it. I was listening to a podcaster who was saying like, you know, I love every single one of you so much. I wish I could wrap my arms around you right now and I could hug you and embrace you and hold you. I'm like, huh, that's kind of a, you don't really mean that. You know what I mean? But have I said things like I end a lot of my, I love you, I mean it. But I mean, like, I don't know you, so I can't love you. If I'm being honest, I love that you listen to the pod. I love that you subscribe. That's why. And I might like you if I meet you in person. I like you because you listen to the podcast, because that obviously means we have something in common. But to say, I love you, I mean it. Like, is that, like, should I do that? It feels, especially because I'm doing this series, I'm questioning everything. I'm rethinking how I show up. I'm rethinking the way that, like, a lot of times I will say, you know what I'm talking about, right? And so that makes it feel like I'm talking to just you. Because I like to record this as if I'm recording it for like one friend. But is that misleading people? Is it manipulative? Because I don't want it to be. I don't know. I'm rethinking like all these things. Should I say, you guys know what I'm talking about, so that it's like very clear that I know I'm talking to a broad audience, not just one person? You know, I don't know. And then I went on this whole rabbit hole about the addiction absorption model, which is basically so interesting, where you can become so addicted to something that like you can't get enough. And then it's almost like it doesn't have the same impact. So you need more and more and more, like kind of a heroin addict or any drug that you start taking, you need more and more and more because you just absorb it all and then it doesn't have the same impact. And so then you need more. And, you know, if you listen to the episode I did last week, where I feel like I need to be more aware of the content that I'm absorbing because I need to figure out how to be okay with more silence. But there's certain, I'm laughing because I'm hoping that some of you feel this way about me and I'm just being honest. But like there are certain podcasters that I listen to or shows I listen to and I'm like, okay, that's it. Great. Now I have to wait a whole nother week. It's ridiculous. That's rude. And it makes me mad because I'm like, oh, I guess I'm addicted to this kind of content. P.S. I really, for personal reasons, hope that you're addicted to my content. And if you are, you can binge all my back episodes.
luckily for you, I've been doing this for 10 years. So there's lots of old episodes. But do me a favor. Don't pull up some old episode and assume that I haven't changed, that I don't think differently about things, that my voice hasn't changed, that my opinions haven't changed, that my outlook hasn't changed. Like, that's the other weird thing about most all of us living our lives in social media. Like, go back and look at your Facebook post from 10 years ago. You're going to be embarrassed. Or you're going to be like, oh my God, like, what kind of, like, what? But it's really problematic when, like, that example, the woman who, like, had found a post from me from 5 years ago that was actually from 7 years ago. Like, you know, you get to a certain point where, like, people, like, they don't just pick apart, like, everything that you're saying today, but, like, also picking apart and comparing it to everything that you said a decade ago. It's a weird thing. It's really making me question, where are we going to go? And how do we put safeguards up? So I have a couple of videos on YouTube. I'm just going to tell you what I do, because I believe I got a pretty healthy perspective on this. First of all, my team knows, don't bring me anything negative unless it's constructive. And they know the difference. There's a difference between somebody who is like, whatever, has a problem with me, doesn't agree with something I've said, and someone who actually has constructive criticism. And I want to know. I want to know about the constructive criticism, but I don't need to know about, you know, this crazy woman who's got everybody riled up in the pod squad. So I don't go in to places where, or read reviews if I know it's going to affect my mental health, A, or if it's going to affect who I know I am. Like, I don't want to show up as a filtered version. I don't want to show up as someone who's, like, worried about the comments. I can't do that. So the reason why I don't read, you know, a lot of comments is because of that. Those are the reasons, you know, but it's also important for me to get a sense of, like, what people need and what people want and what people are interested in and what people, like, how, you know, what is it people want to know? Like, I like being connected to my audience. You know, that's another thing, weird thing is, like, what is a fan versus a follower, right? Like, versus someone who's obsessed with celebrity. Like, there's a big difference. Like, to say I'm a Drake fan or a Nicki Minaj fan. I'm a Nicki Minaj fan means, like, I like her content. I mean, that doesn't make me a weird, creepy, obsessed stalker. It just means that I like their music, or I like their content, or I enjoy their podcast. I'm a fan. I don't know what else you would call it. But for myself personally, to call someone a fan feels very, like, weird, egotistical. Like, oh, it's a fan. Like, that sounds so weird. But I have had, I'm going to tell you this story. Okay. I have had one very strange incident happen. Oh my gosh. Tiffany Lee Bymaster, I hope you're listening to this, because you're going to remember. A woman came to an event and she had made a doll of me. And that was really strange. It was made out of felt, and it was dressed as me. And I mean, it was like, it had, like, all of my accessories. And yeah, it was really, like, it even had green eyes. Like, most people think I have blue eyes, but I don't. I have green. And then when you squeeze the doll, it said, it had a recording that played different, like, phrases that I would say in my workout videos. That was so weird. That was really strange. I kept that doll for so many years just, like, to remind myself, like, oh my gosh, like, this is like a voodoo doll. Anyways, back to that podcast. I think it's How Stuff Works was the name of the podcast. And the thing that they didn't address, which I thought was interesting, that I think other content creators, or even if you don't consider yourself a content creator, if you post regularly in social, there are people who maybe they follow you, but because they're commenting back and forth, you start to feel like you know them. Like, there are people who listen to the Chalene Show, and I regularly, you know, like for years have been communicating with them on, you know, either the Pod Squad or, you know, more recently Patreon. And I literally feel like I know them. There's, you know, I can think of like 25 names right now that I also notice when I'm like, oh, that's so strange. I haven't seen Jane comment in like a couple of weeks. You know, like it's weird. And I feel like I know them. So that parasocial relationship, they described it as being one-sided, but sometimes it's more than one-sided. Like it goes back and forth. Like there are, like I said, there's people who I feel like I know. There's this one lady who follows me on Instagram, and I know she hates me, and she always leaves the rudest, meanest comments. And Press like, why don't you just block her? I'm like, I don't know. I find it kind of entertaining to go back and forth with her on some of these things. It's almost like, oh, I know what she's going to say. I'm not going to say her name, but I'm like, oh, I'm going to post this, and I know what she's going to say. And I kind of find it entertaining. So anyways, back to how I manage this so that it doesn't bother me. I don't engage in negative things that I know are just somebody is just coming for me, or they just disagree with me, or I just upset them. And so there's a couple of YouTube videos I've kind of taken off, gone kind of viral, which is so strange to me. Like the ones that have, like the one on castor oil has completely gone viral. I'm like, really? Castor oil? Okay. But anyways, because of that, I know now you're going to head over to YouTube to read the comments. The comments are so mean, and I just can't read them, because if I read them, then I will, first of all, I'm going to want like to put fillers in my face or go hide under a rock. Like they're like, your face is scary, or ew, old lady on YouTube, or you're such a liar, or you're, you know, just like, you know, crazy things that people say. They're just ridiculous things that people say. And once that video started to take off, I knew that those comments were coming. So I probably read like three or four of them, and I will not go back and read any of the comments on that video, but I have members of my team who kind of monitor them for me. And that's how I stay sane. That is how I stay above it. That's how I don't allow it to impact me and make me feel fragile, or make me feel like I don't know who I am, or make me even feel bad about myself. And I don't think the average person has the fortitude to have a video take off or a piece of content where they're not expecting it, and to have strangers on the internet attack them and not feel that in some way. I mean, because I feel it, but I also have enough, I guess, wisdom, maturity to know that it's not fact, it's not real, and I not to look at it, just not to look, it, to know it's going to be there, but to not look at it. And that's one of the things I think is really important. And I just wonder sometimes what impact that's going to have on future generations. Like, where are we going to head with this? You know, because the generations that are coming up, they usually go the completely opposite way. But I'm really curious where you think all this is going to go. So those of you who have like young teenagers or even middle schoolers, I would love to hear from you. I would love to get your take on what you think is going to happen in terms of social media. Where do we go from here? Thank you to everyone who has been enjoying the series on Patreon. And I now feel awkward about closing the show the way I normally close the show. I'm just going to do it, because if I were to fear that would send the wrong message, would mean, it would imply that I think my audience isn't capable of understanding that I truly couldn't possibly love you. I haven't met you. So screw it. We're going to say it. I love you. I mean it. And I'll talk to you soon.
So you've got an idea for a business, the store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.